We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachemish and Ham Yaakov ben Nichos Elio ben Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. Yehuda ben Tabai, Bishimim ben Shatach, Kiblu Behem. Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach, they received the Mesorah from Nitai Har Bailey and Yehoshua ben Prachya, who mentioned in the previous Mishnayos. Yehuda ben Tabai, we assume, is the Nasi because his name is mentioned first, and Shimon ben Shatach is the Av based in because his name is mentioned afterwards, although there's an opinion that claims it was the reverse. It's Shimon ben Shatach who was the Nasi, and Yehuda ben Tabai, who is the Av based in of the Sanhedrin. Says the Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tabai Omer, Altas Atzmecha Ka'orche HaDayanim. The first teaching of Yehuda ben Tabai, what he used to say was, Altas Atzmecha, don't make yourself like the Orche HaDayanim. Dayanim are judges. Orche means arrangement. So there are many different, very ambiguous statement. Many different interpretations. The Bar Tanura offers several. He says, number one, you shouldn't make yourself like Osan Anashim She'orchim Umisadrim Ta'anos Balei Hadin Lifnei Hadayanim. You shouldn't make yourself, this is like, it almost sounds like you shouldn't be a lawyer. What it's saying is, if you're giving counsel to litigants, giving them the advice that they need with whatever claims they need to make in courts, that's what it means. Orche Hadayanim. Orche, you are helping them arrange that which they're going to present in front of the Dayanim. Now, what's the problem with doing this? So, according to some, this should not be a problem at all. A person can certainly give someone legal advice. It shouldn't be an issue. And therefore, some claim that, at least according to this interpretation, it means giving advice to a litigant, to a Baal Din, to give him some legal loophole, so he won't be obligated to pay whatever it is in court. So here, although maybe legally that would be acceptable, nonetheless, it's something that we should avoid, giving that type of counsel to people. To be a lawyer, to be legal counselor, that certainly should be acceptable. And others claim no. That's in fact what the Mishnah is telling us. This is something we should avoid doing. Let the person present themselves the way they should, and therefore it should be fair, it should be balanced, it should be impartial in court, and you shouldn't be helping out one litigant to give him some advice to present his case in court. Now, Bar Tanura adds on, even though you know that in fact he's going to win. I mean, you're giving him advice, do this, asekach, he says, b'shil shetizke b'dinecha, this way you'll be innocent, you'll win this court case. And if you know the dinizimo, you know that he's going to win anyway, even without giving him this advice. It's still prohibited. Then he says, pir shacher, another possibility of what orche hadayonim is, don't make yourself like Gidolei HaDayanim. What does it mean? Uvetalmid Hayoshev Lifnei Rabba Medabim. We're speaking about a Talmud who stood in front of his Rebbe, and he says, Shelo Yase Atzmo Ki Gidolei HaDayanim. You shouldn't be speaking up in front of your teacher. Don't offer your opinion like an expert judge would offer his opinion in the presence of your Rebbe. You shouldn't be doing so. Obviously, when it comes to teaching, no doubt that Talmidim can offer their opinions. When it comes to a Psak Din, he shouldn't make himself like the Gedolei HaDayanim. That's what it means, Keorche HaDayanim. Some claim that has to do with the Orche, like Arkos. We have that in Maseches Gittin. Arkos Shel Nachrim are non-Jewish courts, meaning don't make yourself as a dayan. A Jewish court shouldn't come like a non-Jewish court, where non-Jewish courts are giving verdicts even when only one litigant is present. That's something that should not be done. And finally, he says, At Altas Atzmecho K'Gedolei HaDayanim, says the Bar Tanura. Another fourth interpretation, don't make yourself like the Gedolei HaDayanim. In what way? The greatest of the experts of the judges, Lakov to force or coerce the litigants to come to your court, which means that don't make them think like you're the expert and they should definitely come to you. They shouldn't feel forced to come to you. That's what it means. Don't make yourself like Orche HaDayanim. Then the Mishnah says, what else about related to judgment? Ukshayu Bale Dinim Omnim Lefanecha, speaking to the judge himself, you beinecha kirishoim. When the litigants come in front of you, they should be like they are wicked. And what does that mean? They should be wicked, guilty. You beinecha kirishoim, says the Bar Tanura, shelo yate libcha lechad mehem. You shouldn't be partial towards one of them. Don't have your heart literally tip and be inclined towards one. Lomar to say ish ploni chashavu. This person is more chashav than the other. Lo yiton tana sheker. I know he won't make a false claim. He obviously is telling the truth. No, a person has to be completely, a judge has to be completely impartial. Interestingly, some of the Farshim say, I don't need a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos to tell me this. Pirkei Avos is telling me had ethical behavior maybe beyond the letter of the law. This is telling me a Baal Din, a Dayan should be impartial to the litigants. Of course he should be. So what the Mishnah is saying here is, you beinecha kirishayim, it means like this. We should not view both litigants as equally innocent until one is proven guilty, but just the opposite. View them like they're guilty until one is proven innocent. Why is that so? Because we don't want to give the benefit of the doubt at the beginning. When you're actually judging your person, we should be very discerning, very deliberate in trying to find, to make sure that no one is lying. And that's the way to do so, is only to view them, you beinecha kirishayim. And then the Mishnah concludes, but then when they take leave of you after you've given the verdict as a judge, you beinecha kizakoim. Now they should be not like Rishon, just the opposite. They should be like they're innocent. Once they've accepted the verdict, we should view both the litigants as if they're innocent. Even the one who was proven guilty, if you, the Bar Tanur says, don't suspect the one who now you showed, who the verdict was that he is going to be guilty. Goslin, I guess it was a Goslin. Ella, so what should you say? You said he was guilty. So the answer is Ella Tomar Shema Toe Hayabalunis Kadalixol. No, maybe he made a mistake. Now, obviously, not questioning your judgment, but rather you're claiming that maybe he made a mistake. He didn't really have intent to steal, and indeed he did, and I had to prove him guilty. I had to claim that he's guilty and he has to pay, but maybe he didn't have intent to do so. And maybe that's what it means when it says when they take leave of you, they should be like Zakai, like innocent in your eyes. Inami, or the Bar Tanur offers a possible answer, an explanation. If one of them had to take an oath in court, and he took that oath, don't say that in fact he swore falsely, which means what happens is sometimes you have a litigant who's not necessarily is the one who we know 100% is telling the truth, but he may have won the case based on the circumstances where he was obligated to take a shvua. And when you take a shvua, that generally says you take a shvua usually not to have to pay, or maybe take a shvua in order to be paid in certain circumstances. So we say, well, he took a shvua, so that's why he won the din, but because that's the rule, that's the halacha. But nonetheless, maybe he's really lying. So that's what it's saying. When they leave, the one took an oath, you can assume that he was not lying, he was not taking an oath falsely, and he actually is innocent, and that's why he was able to be paid or did not have to pay, depending on what the shua was all about. Perek Aleph Mishnah Test. Shimon ben Shatach Omer. Now we hear what Shimon ben Shatach has to teach us. Have a mar belach kores ha'edim. Number one, we should extensively be choker. Literally means to investigate the witnesses. We cross-examine the witnesses in a very thorough way. We have to ask them many, many questions. In fact, the Mishnayos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin speak about really three types of questions. There's number one called chakiros. Chakiros literally means investigations. Based on the pasuk says, we have an obligation to investigate, to ask many questions, to ensure that the witnesses are telling the truth. So the first category of questions are called chakiros. There are actually seven chakiros, which speak about just time and place, the week, the day of the week, the date, and obviously the place as well. And so those seven questions, those chakiros, are critical. Drishos is where we ask questions, let's say, how was the person killed? Did the person get a proper warning? Also very important questions. Bedikos are less important, the secondary questions. Let's say, what was the color of the clothing the person was wearing? So the only time bedikos really matter is when there's a contradiction between the eidim. One eid says he was wearing red, the other eid said he was wearing white. So that would, then we would throw it out of court. We wouldn't be able to corroborate the testimony. But if someone knew a color the person's shirt was, the other person doesn't, so then that's okay. We don't throw that out. But if we don't have the proper drishos information or the chakiros there, this person doesn't know where it took place, the crime or the loan or whatever it may be. This person doesn't know the date on the calendar. So then we've done the proper examining of the witnesses, and in fact we throw that case out of court. So what Shimon ben Shatach is telling us when he says heavy mach
marbelach korosoi. What do you mean? We should do a lot of chakiros. There's chakiros. There's a limit. There are seven chakiros questions. So what does it mean marbe? So he must be referring to the bedikos, which means the bedikos, which normally we said are, unless there's a contradiction between the witnesses, are not necessary. Nonetheless, the best, the more we ask, the better it is. Whatever facts they may not be completely relevant to the case, but nonetheless, anything even ancillary, the color of the shirt that the perpetrator was wearing, that's also important. So that's an obligation that the Dayan should have, that he, Shir Mashatach, is teaching us. The Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He once said there was a case of a murder, and it took place underneath a tree. And he said, asked the witnesses, can you tell me what the twigs like? Ukse badak beukse te'enim. It was a fig tree. And I asked him, the stems of that tree, where the crime took place, can you tell me what they look like? That's obviously a bedika, just an inspection, just checking, something extra. But nonetheless, that's he was following what we see in this Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, v'heve zohir b'dvarecha, this is also a warning to the Dayan, to the court, and it means not only when we interrogate the witnesses, but this would be true of the litigants themselves. If we were talking about a case, a financial case, what should the judge be careful of doing? Be careful when he asks questions, says the Bar Tanura, Shelo Yomar HaDayon, Shema Kach V'Kach HaYamaisa. The Dayan shouldn't ask these questions which lead the people perhaps to lie. He says, maybe this is what happened, so what are they going to do? So if he leads them on like that, and that's the way he formulates his question, they may say, oh, I see what he's getting at. So then they answer falsely. So, maybe it happened this way. So they realize, if they answer yes, that's exactly the way it happened, they realize that in fact is going to be to their benefit. So that's not something that the Dayan should do, to lead them on in such a way, because then if he elicits those kinds of answers from them, and with these questions, with the leading type of questions, they may end up lying. Shema mitocham yil medula shaker. That's what we're afraid of. They may end up lying. So Bar Tanur also says, "Oim ha'yaha davar kach haya ploni zakai." When we talk davar malolu lo made baldin, the litigant learns, and oa yedim. So it's both the litigant or the yedim. Lomar davar shalom haya, they actually lie. And some explain that when it says the dayan should be zohir b'dvarecha, dvarecha may refer to the verdict, and not the questions they ask of the litigants or of the edim. But what's the problem? If they have to be cautious with their verdict, in the sense that they should not speak too much about why they made the decision that they did, because, as this Mishnah says, Shemel yu mitocham yilu d'mushaker. People say, they realize, aha, that's the rationale of the verdict. Okay, we know next time exactly what to come and say, so that next time we'll win the case.